I share with some people the extent of my video game playing, but a lot of times I don't because I'm embarrassed, because sometimes I'll play for 8-10 hours straight. It's kind of like cocaine, where the sun will be coming up and I'll be like, one more turn, one more turn.
Welcome to Secret Life Podcast. I'm Breanne Davis-Gant. Mark and I are blown away by the tremendous support on the heels of our 150th episode. We're excited to welcome thousands of new subscribers and wanted to share a few of our past listener favorites. Thank you again for subscribing, favoriting, and sharing. Now sit back and enjoy the show.
Shh. Welcome to the Secret Life Podcast. Tell me your secret. I'll tell you mine.
Sometimes you have to go through the darkness to reach the light. That's what I did. After 12 years of recovery in sex and love addiction, I finally found my soulmate, myself. Please join me in my novel, Secret Life of a Hollywood Sex and Love Addict, a 4-time bestseller on Amazon. It's a brutal, honest, raw, gnarly ride, but hilarious at the same time. Check it out now on Amazon. Welcome to Secret Life Podcast. I'm Breanne Davis-Gant. Today, I'm pulling back the curtains of all kinds of human secrets. We'll hear about what people are hiding from themselves or others. You know, those deep, dark secrets you probably want to take to your grave? Are those lighter, funnier secrets that are just plain embarrassing? Really, the how, what, when, where, and why of it all. Today, my guest is my good pal, Paul. Now, Paul, I have a question for you.
Yes.
Dun, dun, dun. What is your secret?
Video games. I share with some people the extent of my video game playing, but a lot of times I don't because I'm embarrassed, because sometimes it'll be, this hasn't been recently, but there have been times when I'll play for 8-10 hours straight. It's kind of like cocaine, where the sun will be coming up and I'll be like, one more turn, one more turn.
You lose yourself in that world, right?
Completely. I do. It's such a dopamine hit. Just thinking about it, sometimes I can get high, and then suddenly nothing else seems interesting to me. Nothing on TV, no hobby, no reading a book, nothing. It's just like, oh, for me, one of the games is Civilization, and it's a game. It's kind of similar like Sim, but it's on steroids, and there's war, and a big part of the high for me is they randomly give you a plot of land. They create just a random map. Mm-hmm. And the excitement of finding out, am I going to have resources on it? And if I get a plot of land that it not only has resources, but is defendable and is aesthetically pleasing, has like fall colors, it's like I shot heroin.
You so much. Yes. I can actually feel your energy right now, like that high. I'm actually feeling it. Like it's coming off of you a little bit, like even you talking about it.
Yeah.
About this world that doesn't exist.
Yeah. 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 And I will think that to myself sometimes. Mm-hmm. This is just a box of circuitry that is releasing all these chemicals in my brain. And I suppose it's not that different from any other process addiction, where there isn't a substance per se, but the act of doing something gets us high. And those, I think, can be the most difficult ones to overcome because the pharmacy's in our head and it's open 24 hours.
24 hours. And that's why I wanted to have you on. You know, I asked him to be on. Normally I don't ask people, but you, I was like, can you come on and talk about this? Could you have shared with me the days that you were on for 10 hours? And I don't have this addiction. So a part of me is like, huh? Why would you waste 10 hours?
Well, you haven't tried Civilization.
But I have done Mario Brothers. Here's the thing. I did used to play video games when I was living in my parents' house. It was when Nintendo came out and I was loved Mario Brothers 4. And I would just sit in my room on my teeny little TV and play it because I would rather live in that than live in my parents' house.
Yeah. Yeah. And that was one that I also went through an addiction with when it first came out. Yeah. And it also happened to be timed when it was really hard to get pot. And I just become a stand-up comedian. Uh-huh. And I thought, well, I'll grow my own pot. So I bought a 1,000-watt light and a CO2 tank on a timer and turned my spare bedroom into a grow lab. And I was growing a 1/4 pound of weed every 3 months. So you can imagine somebody suddenly that only has to work a 30 minutes a night, has all the weed they want.
Yeah.
And Nintendo just came out. It was
what you wish for.
Yeah. I burned my brain to the ground.
Oh my God. Is that another secret? Have you ever told anybody?
I told that story before. But the game that I really bottomed out on when I was doing that was Zelda.
Zelda.
Sweet Zelda.
Oh, and you get the map. I actually played Zelda 2 and I got the actual map and was like, got to get to this world. Like I had it all planned out. So I have had this addiction now that I'm talking about it, but it was when I was younger. So when did you do Atari before that?
No.
You remember?
No, I didn't. Cause I guess I would have been in high school and college then, but I remember I was living with my girlfriend at the time, my then girlfriend, and she later became my wife. And she was also a stand-up comedian, and she left, it was a Friday night, and she left to go do a 3-show night. So that's shows at 7, 9, and 11. So she would have left probably around 6, 6:30. Come home around 1:30, 2. And she's like, and I was playing Zelda when she left. And she came back and she's like, have you even moved? Not only had I not showered, had I not eaten anything, but I had to pee for the last 4 hours, but could not get up to pee because at just one more move.
One more move. One more of just like living in that world.
Yeah.
Did it affect your marriage, do you think?
I do. I think a lot of other things affected it as well. My inability to be vulnerable, my dishonesty, my arrogance. You know, I could go on and on, but ultimately I used it, you know, it's such a cliche, as a way to escape rather than to try to put into a sentence what I was feeling and what my needs were.
Yeah.
And to be able to also be present and truly listen to that person.
Well, that's what I'm hearing now. And that's why I wanted you on, that gaming is actually coming in between relationships.
Oh,
especially
hugely.
Young boys are not wanting to live in reality, and they are actually wanting to stay home and game and not like move forward in their life at all.
Yeah. There's the thing that I find comforting about gaming is the rules are clear. The rules are unbendable. There's no real surprises as to somebody's changing the game. So the challenge of knowing what the constraints are, when you live in a household like I did, where I was raised, where there are no boundaries and the rules can change from one day to the next and people are hard to trust, a game is easy to trust because a game won't lie to you.
Yeah. Or trick you or be nice and then take it away and be mean.
Or want to devour you.
Yeah. Or enmesh with you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. that illusion of control. And one of the things that I love about a game, if I'm having a rough go at the game, I just hit restart. Well, you can't do that with your family.
You can't do that with your loved one always.
No, no, you can't. So just hold on a second. I'm going to reboot you because you're getting really annoying.
Yeah. You're really getting on my nerves and you're triggering the shit out of me. I'm going to press reset.
Yeah. Control, alt, delete. You were saying.
But when did you realize like now it's getting to be a problem, other than the times you have mentioned to me? But when did that start, when you like lose hours other than the time with your ex-wife?
After that, I would go through periods of it. As I look back now, it was times when my marriage was on the rocks, when I was deep in my drug and alcohol addiction, pornography addiction, and I just didn't want to face that. I didn't want to ask for help. So it was just easier to not think about it. And it's like living at the North Pole in a Speedo and sandals, and your game is a jacuzzi.
Totally.
Sorry to leave you with that image, but.
But it is. It's like you do not have to be in reality at all.
At all.
Yeah.
At all. And that illusion of control and the competitiveness. I've always been a bit of a competitive person with certain things.
Yeah.
Especially sports. And there's another game that I play that's called Golden Tee, and it's an arcade game. It's a golf game that has like a trackball on it. And I used to love playing it at bars when I was drinking. And then I got sober and didn't play it for, I don't know, maybe 15 years.
Yeah.
And after my marriage broke up and I moved into my own place, I found out that they have a home version of that. And so I bought it. Uh-huh. And the high that I get when I make a really good shot, and then also it's plugged into the internet, so you can compete nationally for the lowest score on a given course on a given day. And so my goal, the thing that I do is there's, I don't know, maybe 40 courses, is I will play each course until I post the low score nationally for the day on that course. And then I'll move on to the next one, repeat and just repeat. And the high I get when I, especially if I come from behind and I beat somebody who I don't even know by one stroke, I'll pump my fist in the air by myself.
Seriously?
50-something-year-old man in his house alone, pumping his fist because he beat a stranger on a fucking video game. And I'll just go, oh my God, you are so lame. But the high...
Yeah.
The high of that. And I've never felt that accomplishment with anything in my career.
Any huge accomplishment you have done. Never.
Any real tangible accomplishment. I don't feel that. So why do I feel it from this game? I don't know. I feel clever. I feel talented. I don't get it. I don't get it.
Yeah, because they make it addictive.
Yeah.
These companies make it so you are addicted. So you think it's real. So you pumping your fist in the air is like, you feel like you won something and you won nothing.
Won nothing. Yeah. Nothing.
I keep picturing you doing that.
It's so ridiculous. And sometimes I'll forget to shut the shutters and I'll think, oh my God, walking by, they must just, they're probably going to get a GoFundMe for me to go get help in a mental hospital. They're just going to have an intervention on my front lawn.
Oh my God, that's funny. But here's the thing, Paul, and this is the thing, like we laugh about it, but it's no joke. Like people are losing their lives over these gaming addictions.
People are
losing years and years and years. Young boys are they can't even function and like brush their teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I wanted to have people. You on. Yeah.
I'll notice that sometimes if I've been playing for a long time, I'll be really spaced out. You know, maybe I'll go to a support group meeting after that. And I can just feel a lag in human communication where I'm not present. It's like my brain is still spinning from that high.
Well, I remember a time you and I talked about it actually, and you actually said to me that you were depressed. Like it made you depressed, that's all you did that day.
Mm-hmm.
And you felt really depressed.
Yeah.
And your life, when you look at your life, and I just have to say to the people listening, you have a beautiful life. Like
I have a great life.
That day you were so depressed because all you did was the video game.
Just felt shame. Just shame and the life not lived, you know, which isn't a really black and white way of looking at it. Because there's a fine line between rewarding yourself with an hour of playing a game and escaping your life. And I'm kind of that way. I think with anything that brings us pleasure is where does it begin to degrade your life, short circuit your goals, and pull you away from the people in your life that you love. And I pretty much know that feeling, or bring shame. One of the things that I've been working with my therapist is setting a timer for 20 minutes of work, you know, maybe three times and little 5 minute breaks. Yeah. And then after I do it for 3 or 4 hours, then maybe I take an hour and play a game or something like that. And I did that for the first week, but it's been 8 hours a day since then of gaming. No, it hasn't. It hasn't been 8 hours.
But you have been struggling with it. You have, right?
I have.
A new year, time for new growth. Grow your education and skills with Herzing University. Our online behavioral health programs fit your schedule and time. From an 8-month diploma program in health and human services to a 36-month bachelor's in psychology. Grow your behavioral health career with us wherever you are in your education. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Visit us online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109. Online at herzing.edu or text health to 85109.
Not as bad because I've hit kind of a creative stride in my professional life. And that has increased my self-esteem and my confidence. And that helps me not want to escape as much. You know, there's kind of a momentum, as you know, to addiction and a momentum to recovery and self-care. Yeah. And so I feel like I've been on a bit of an upswing with the self-care. And that helps kind of give me energy to draw on to take care of myself and be the responsible adult.
Do you think still to this day, I know you're seeing somebody else, does the gaming affect your relationship with her?
No, I don't play it when she's over. If she and I need to have a difficult conversation about something, we have it. And that's, I think, where my support groups really keep me connected and grounded and self-aware. If yeah. I wasn't in those, I think I would lose touch with reality and what it is to be a good boyfriend, what it is to be a friend, yeah. what it is to be a friend to myself.
Yeah, it keeps you accountable. Even when I'm going through a day and we get together and we talk, it's like, it keeps me accountable. And it's like, okay, those addict thoughts, those addict behaviors are not helping me. That, you know, so I agree. If you don't have that support group, you are floundering yeah. in your own disease.
And I have to say, inspire and amaze me with your dedication to going to support groups and doing the work, because your life is so full. And I know a lot of the times you get on that Zoom meeting and you're fucking exhausted.
Exhausted,
but you show up and you've yeah. been doing that for what, 13 years?
Yeah, 12 and a half years. Yeah, 12 and a half. Yeah.
And that is a fucking miracle. To me.
Well, here's the thing. I know I have to show up or I will spin. I will start eating cake. I will want to shop. I will disconnect from my husband or my son when he's having a moment. You know what I mean? And you keep me grounded in that too. And that's what having this community does for each other. And that I can call you and go, hey, I need you to come on and talk about your gaming shit, because people need to hear that you're going through it, but you're getting through it at the same time. And you're not
yeah.
trying to get lost in this fantasy.
It's a lot of 2 steps forward, 1 step back. And, mm-hmm. you know, one of the things in our support group, as you know, we talk about is learning to be our own best friend and mm-hmm. to stop shaming ourselves. The idea that we're going to shame ourselves into being disciplined is one of the biggest myths that if we don't shame ourselves, we're not going to reach our goals. We can still have our eyes set on the goal and be gentle with ourselves about having slept until 2 o'clock, gotten up for an hour, gone right back to bed.
Yeah. And you're okay to have days like that.
Yeah.
I think that toxic positivity that's put on us on top of you have to be productive, you have to be doing this. Some days you're just going to have bad days, and that's okay. Yeah. And those bad days are meant to be had so you can feel a feeling you didn't want to feel, or you have moments where you slip back and shut down. And then the next day you get up and you show up.
Yeah.
But my question for you with the gaming thing, and I have a son, right? People know I have a son.
Yeah.
I am like dead set on him never touching a video game unit, but I've had people repeat to me, it's like the boy world now. Mm-hmm. And it's like, how do I protect my son from this that I see in my friends, I see in other people, I see in the addictive community that are suffering from this? How do I help my son as a mom, with a boy?
It's simple.
Okay.
You get in a time machine, you go back, and you don't have children. If you can't do that, you're fucked.
This Paul doesn't want kids, so I expect nothing less than that answer.
I don't know how you navigate that, because there's also that possibility that it's going to be more alluring
to
him. And then when the day does come that he's 18 and he's on his own, he's going to fall down that rabbit hole, and it's going to be such a magical, forbidden thing to him.
I know.
I knew kids in college, their first year, who flunked out because they came from such rigid families that freedom was intoxicating to them.
I know. How do you find that line? How do I do that?
I don't know. Maybe you let him find it out on his own, but talk to him about the effects of it. Yeah, I don't know. That's got to be scary.
It is scary. It is scary because they have gaming parties now for little boys' parties, like all, and I'm just, and if they don't know how to play, they're not cool. So I don't want to be doing that to him. But I also have seen a lot of kids through people that are in recovery that has sobriety, have kids that are, will not leave their bedroom at 7 years old, 10 years old, 13 years old, because they don't want to stop playing their game and they throw a tantrum. So it's like, where's that line as a parent? Do we help them not become addicted to this fantasy world?
Well, I would imagine that something that would help, and something that you do have control over, is modeling healthy communication skills.
That's true.
So that's at least one thing that he's not running from, that he can feel safe to go, Mom, I got a crush on this girl. She doesn't like me, or somebody's picking on me, or yeah. I just feel whatever it is that he can feel free to let that weight off his shoulders. I would imagine that would be at least one thing that you have control over as a parent, is that you can model healthy expression of feelings.
Which we do, which is good. But here's my next question for you. What if somebody's listening right now and they're finding themselves stuck in the gaming world for 8 to 10 hours? What would be your advice for them?
Well, first, the thing I would ask, is this a temporary thing or is this a repeating pattern?
Okay.
Is it sounds like it's probably interfering with your life? And is the pain of continuing like this greater than the fear of asking for help? And if that is the case, maybe it's time to get help. But for a lot of us, the pain of continuing to do it is less than the fear or inconvenience of going and getting help for it. You know, I feel fortunate in that I have enough support groups that I can kind of be held accountable and tell on myself when I'm hitting a patch that's like that. I can talk to my girlfriend about it. It's not something that I feel like I have to hide from her, because she doesn't shame me. She's a really good soul who feels like a team member. So I know she's on my side. She's not trying to get leverage over me. I know in some relationships, people are looking for leverage to make that other person feel bad, or to, you know, some kind of get some upper hand.
Yeah, if there's a power struggle in your relationship, that's not a good relationship.
Good luck. Good luck. Yeah.
But here's the thing you did say that I want to speak on. Do you think also a sign is if you stopped playing for a week, would that bring you like anxiety and like terror? Would that be a sign? You know, if you put it down for a certain period.
Yeah, I think that would probably, and does it go away over time? If it goes away over time, then maybe it's a good sign that you can take breaks from it. You know, I've considered selling my golf game, but I don't want to let it go. I have a friend who was so addicted to Civilization that he used to give, this is when it was on CD, he would give his CD to his agent and say, don't give me this back until I finish writing my one-man show. And then when his agent was at lunch, he would go to the office and talk the secretary into letting him into his agent's office so he could get it out of the desk drawer. Oh,
and obviously, this is a very successful person doing this.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's no joke. It's no different than alcohol. It's no different than sex and love or overeating or anything. It's literally, it's a compulsion that you can't stop. So I think the thing you said with the timer, if someone's listening, do a timer for an hour. And if you can't stop at that hour,
throw your phone away.
Yeah. Or throw the timer away if you use those old timers.
Or download the phone on or the game on your phone.
Don't listen to him, people. Don't listen. Well, is there anything else you want to say about gaming or any words of wisdom you can help other people?
Be gentle with yourself along the way. I know very few people who overnight achieve the emotional and mental goals that they want to. It's recovery and growing into the person you want to be is messy. It's nonlinear. And they're all opportunities to pick yourself up, dust yourself off, and say, okay, note to self, maybe next time I'll try this, but don't shame yourself.
Thank you so much, my friend, for coming on and talking about this. I really appreciate you.
Love you.
I love you too. And if you want to be on the show, please email me at secretlifepodcast@icloud.com. Until next time. Thanks again for listening to the show. Please subscribe, rate, share, or send me a note at secretlifepodcast.com. And if you'd like to check out my book, head over to secretlifenovel.com or Amazon to pick up a copy for yourself or someone you love. Thanks again. See you soon.